Once upon a time, there was an old woman. She was the meanest person on the face of the earth. She was unkind, she was stingy, she was unhelpful. And she died. She came into the judgment hall after death. And they brought in the book of her life. And they opened it up and read it through page by page, day by day. Yes, it was true. She was mean, she was stingy, she was unhelpful, she was unkind. But one day she gave a carrot to a beggar. So the carrot was brought into the judgment hall. The old woman took hold of it. And such is the power of even one act of love that she was lifted up off the ground. She looked up. And there were the gates of heaven open to receive her. And as she left the ground, the beggar appeared from nowhere and grabbed the end of her skirt. And he got lifted up too. Then another beggar appeared, the one with whom the first beggar shared the carrot. And he grabbed that first beggar's foot. And he got lifted up too. The old woman didn't feel a thing. Such is the power of even one act of love. And as they looked it up further, another woman appeared from somewhere. She grabbed the second beggar's foot. Somebody came and grabbed her skirt. Somebody grabbed his foot. And soon, there were 29 or 30 people all hanging on. And the old woman didn't feel a thing. Her eyes were focused on the gates of heaven, which were coming closer and closer. Then all of a sudden she looked down and she saw all those people hanging on. And she said, "Go away, this is my carrot." She let hold of the carrot and they all fell down. I thought you would laugh more than that. That story illustrates something that Jesus taught us about the last judgment. He tells us that at the end, the King himself will come in all his glory and his angels with him. And the whole human race, from Adam to Eve, right down to the last conceived person, will be drawn up before him. And he will divide those people in two, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. With the bad people, the wicked, the sinners, on his left hand, and the good people, the just, the righteous, on his right. And he will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father. I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me to drink." And so on through the corporal works of mercy. And to those on his left hand he will say, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, which was prepared for the devil and his angels." And why are they to depart? Because they didn't give the hungry to eat, or the thirsty to drink, or they didn't clothe the naked. They didn't carry out the corporal works of mercy. Sisters and brothers, hell wasn't made for you and me. It was made for the devil and his angels. We were made for everlasting light and life and joy. That's why God made us. That's the purpose of our being, to reach eternal joy. And that's why the Lord Jesus emphasizes love and mercy so strongly throughout his public ministry. The scribe asked him, "Good master, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And he replied by quoting Deuteronomy chapter 6, and he also took a verse out of our first reading tonight from the book of Leviticus. And he said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the greatest and the first commandment, and the second is like to this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two depend all the law and the prophets too." Now notice that word "depend." In the Greek language in which the Gospels were originally written, the word for "depend," or the word for "hang," is exactly the same word that is used for a coat hanging on a nail behind a door. If you take the nail away, what happens to the coat? It falls down. And if we don't practice love towards God and man, we too fall down. As Paul tells us in his letter to the Galatians, faith works through love. Now, when we turn to that same teaching about the two commandments in Mark's Gospel, again the scribe speaks up and he congratulates Jesus on the answer that he gave. Teacher, you have spoken rightly. To love God above all things and one neighbour as oneself is far greater than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus looked steadily at him and said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. There's a useful lesson for us there, you know. Only those men and women who are truly loving persons are in God's kingdom. It's not so important what religious tradition we belong to, what Christian tradition we belong to. What is all important is that we are women and men who are truly loving. In Luke's account of the same event, the Lord's teaching on the two commandments, the scribe asks, who is my neighbour? And Jesus replies with that story that we all know so very well, the story of the Good Samaritan. But he doesn't answer the man's question in quite the way that the man framed it. Man said, who is my neighbour? Jesus tells us who we are neighbour to. That's not quite the same thing. We are neighbour to any man, woman or child who has a need that we can do something about. So, why must I love my neighbour? Well, the first reason is given in the gospel reading that we listen to tonight. Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. And why? Because then you will be like your Father in heaven, who lets his sun shine on good people and bad people alike, his rain to fall on just and unjust. God gives his best gifts freely to everyone without exception. So we, in our love, must go out to everyone, also without exception. A second reason, because Christ died for each man, woman and child as though that one were the only one who needed to be saved. Paul, in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 21, if you want to look it up later, Paul says there, he, that's Jesus, loved me and gave himself for me. And the great fathers of the church tell us that we can take those same words and apply them to ourselves. Each of us can say, he, Jesus, loved me and gave himself for me. And you've got it in as many words in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. He suffered death for the sake of everyone. And the Greek makes it clear that everyone is two words, which means each person singly, individually. So that means that any one of you or I were the only one who needed to be saved, the Lord Jesus would have become man, suffered all those torments of his passion and died just for you, just for you, just for you, just for me. That's literally true. It's the word of Scripture. It's the teaching of the church. Jesus died for you as though you were the only one who needed to be saved. And that's why we Christians should have great big smiles on our faces the whole time. Do you go around all day with a smile on your face? Because if you do, people are going to question you. And you can say it's because of Jesus and you've got a chance to evangelize. It's sort of marvelous. Now, the third reason why we must love the neighbour is the point we started with. It is on this that we will all be judged. The Lord has a lot more to say about love. Particularly, I would draw your attention to John's Gospel, chapter 13, where he gives us the new commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. As I mentioned to some people earlier today, for me this is the scariest two verses in the whole of the Bible. That you love one another as I have loved you. I ask myself, how many people am I ready to die for? I can't even name one. How many are you ready to die for? Because our love has not reached the heights that the Lord wants it to be until we are prepared to die for one another. And it doesn't have to only be our family, anybody. By this shall all know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Well, is that how the Catholic community in Canberra is known? Is the people who are truly loving? They're all there when there's a disaster. There's a death down the street, are the Catholics on the door with a plate of scones or other refreshments to help? The refreshments will certainly be needed for the guests who call. How many letters of sympathy do you write when you hear of people who have died whom you know? All sorts of ways we can be practicing love all the time. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples. When I was in my first year of ministry after leaving the seminary, I went one night to an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. They had a guest speaker there that night. He was a recovering alcoholic, but he was also an evangelist from America. He gave a great talk. I can't remember any of it now, except for one thing he said, and it's helped me, this one thing, all over the years. He spoke about the ABC of resentment. I call it the ABC of charity. Most of us will have in our lives people that we find it hard to get on with. Not their fault, not our fault. We may blame it on a clash of temperament, perhaps, blame the original sin. But there are people that just rub us up the wrong way whenever we meet them. We find it hard to love them. They upset us inwardly in our emotions. So we've got this formula ABC to help us. A stands for avoid. You stay out of the person's way. If you don't see them, you don't hear them, you won't think about them, and you won't have the uncharitable thoughts or uncharitable speech. Avoid. Father, that's impossible. This person is in my house. I can't avoid him. He's always there. He's always complaining. He's grinding his teeth all the time, and that sets me on edge. I can't avoid him. Well, the letter B of ABC may help there. B stands for blackout. Physically, you're in this person's presence, but mentally and emotionally, you black out by thinking of something that you find pleasant, particularly if you can imagine it. Now, as a New Zealander, of course, I think of the All Blacks. Sorry. Mind you, if they weren't doing so well, I'd probably still think of them, probably swear about them. So that's B. No good, Father, because if I did that, I'd be treating this person as though he were a log of wood or a rock. I'd be ignoring him, and that would be uncharitable. So this is where the letter C comes in. C stands for compassion. Feel sorry for him. Poor old so-and-so. He has not had the chances in life that I've had. Make excuses for him. Pray for him. That's an act of charity in his regard. Do acts of kindness towards him. Do you know what happens? As sure as day follows night, your feelings, and this is where all this trouble is, your feelings will turn around and you will actually come to love him. Now, this is not being a hypocrite, because you're doing what God wants you to do. You're loving him. The psychiatrists and psychologists have a word for this. This acting as though you like and you love somebody. They call it praxis. P-R-A-X-I-S. Funny word, that, praxis. Fake it till you make it. Just do that. Mind you, the psychologists didn't discover this. St. John of the Cross was talking about it 400 years ago. He says, where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. And you can forget everything else I've said tonight if you remember that one sentence from John of the Cross. Where there is no love, put love, and you will find love. Amen.
Amen.